We're going to be in Job chapter 2. We're going to be studying another characteristic of the Christian life. If you'll stand out of love and respect for God's word, please, if you are physically able. In Job chapter 2, we're going to read these 10 verses. I'll just read to you. You can follow along. Here in these 10 verses of Job chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord, and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. So I did remember, after I got to looking at this, as I was looking through the characteristics, and yes, they are listed in alphabetical order, and I was going through and I was making a plan, I remembered as I saw honesty, and I saw humility or being humble, and then I saw integrity, that I wanted to put honesty and integrity next to each other in the sermon order. And so that's why I digressed from following the alphabetized thing there. But so last week we did talk about honesty. And it is something that is important, but can I tell you something? Honesty is part of, if you will, or maybe a byproduct of integrity. So the definition of integrity is simply the entire, unimpaired state of anything, particularly the mind. So if you want to say, as going through and saying that integrity is the entire unimpaired state of anything, it encompasses honesty. It's the whole thing. Honesty is a part of integrity. All right? Integrity is the whole. Integrity is where honesty comes from. The integrity is there, it's established. Therefore, one of the things that integrity produces is honesty. So we talked at length last week about honesty and how important it certainly is. But if we're going to talk about the entire unimpaired state of anything, particularly of the mind, moral soundness or purity, incorruptness, uprightness, and honesty. So it encompasses all of these things. But a summation of the term is integrity comprehends the whole moral character. So see how encompassing it is. And that's kind of why it had to be separate from honesty. And again, that's why we went ahead and went that direction. So if we're going to comprehend the whole moral character, this passage in Job makes perfect sense. Because Job embodied integrity. If you look at chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, "There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil." So we have this testimony of Job as a complete moral character. It's fantastic. And God even says, as they go through these things, he says, "Hast thou considered," in verse 8, "my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth?" Now, folks, that's amazing. Now, if you study the chronological ideas here, this is going to be early on in creation. Okay? And it's down a few tiers, if you will, from Adam and such and so forth. But this man, Job, it says there's none like him in the earth. Wow! What a measuring stick! You know, God says there's none like him in the earth. A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. That means he takes evil and he pushes it away. He's like, he disperses it. It's gone. As like, get on out of here. Okay? Just, it's out of here. No way. And so, does that not really embody the word integrity? Kind of, you could almost use what's said in verse 1 and in verse 8. And then, of course, in our text, we're going to talk about it again. But here it says that this is basically the definition of integrity. So here he says, here in our text that we read, "Again, there was a day," so this is after the death of his children, his 10 children were killed, "and after all of his wealth was stripped from him." No money, no kids anymore, gone. All right? And Job said in verse 21, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Again, integrity holds true. All right, so I thought about this, and we're gonna study some elements here and how integrity works as a characteristic in our life. So we're going to first look at integrity at the core. Because I think integrity goes so deep, it is the core of who and what we ought to be. And as God said, there's none like him on the earth. This man exceeded all. That's pretty fantastic. Something not impossible. Maybe we can try to attain to that. Or perhaps progress and work that direction. That's why integrity is important as a characteristic in our lives. So as we look here at what happened, and in verse 3, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job?" We've heard that, right? "That there is none like him in the earth." We heard that. "A perfect and an upright man." We heard that. "One that feareth God." We heard that. "And escheweth evil." We heard that. But what we didn't hear the first time was this next phrase. "And still he holdeth fast his integrity." So he's still holding on to his integrity. In other words, it is at the core of who Job is. When he is struck with boils. Because Satan said, "Hey, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life." He said, "Hey, let me torment him. Let me touch him, his physical being, his physical body, and then he will curse you."
God said, okay, just don't kill him. Have you ever had boils? Okay, how about blisters? Right? Blisters are bad enough. And sometimes they're really uncomfortable when they begin to kind of puff up, right? You ever pop one of those things? It really hurts. Okay? So imagine those, probably a lot bigger and a lot worse, from the top of your head, the crown of your head, to the bottom of your feet, sitting there scraping them with potsherds to get relief from the ooze, right? And sitting in ashes, because that's really something that could just kind of ease some of the discomfort. And your wife is there, or your husband, telling you, hey, do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die! Get it over with! Don't go through all this agony. We've lost our children. We've lost all of our money. We've lost everything. Now you have boils. Just give it up. But the question is so imperative. She says to him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? And I think Job did because it was at his core. When integrity is at your core, you can endure anything. Jesus says to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, I've been a soldier. I always will be, even though I'm not under the employ of the U.S. government anymore. But listen, it's kind of just in a soldier to do soldier things. And they're difficult. And they're beyond reason sometimes. Some of us were talking a few weeks ago about Navy SEALs and all the things that they go through. That's at their core, the guys that make it through. It's at their core. If integrity is at your core, there's no diverting from it. It's just who you are. It's just always there. And it's not going to go away. Job says, hey, what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? Shall we not receive evil? I mean, how rational is that? But who thinks that way? Right? I mean, when something bad comes into your life, or something difficult comes into your life, who really weighs it and says, well, let's see, we receive good things from God. Now we're receiving some bad things. All right, no problem. That's integrity. That's amazing that he would even consider that. He just lost his kids, all of them, his money, gone. And now he's sitting there with this excruciating disease that he has to deal with, and his wife is even telling him to give it up. And he says, you know what? No problem. Because integrity was at his core. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. This is an unusual passage of scripture. And we will get to Joseph. He's another character that comes to mind when we talk about integrity. But here we're going to talk about a heathen that had some integrity. Abraham, the man of God. Integrity level, very low. No, honestly, think about it. Okay? So here we are in Genesis chapter 20. Look at verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and journeyed in Gerar, or sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near to her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother.
in the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore, I suffered thee, or suffered I thee not to touch her. So he goes on, and the rest of the story is very interesting, and Abimelech, you know, calls out Abraham on this, but I thought it was interesting how, God said that, he would, verse 7, now therefore restore the man his wife. For I almost think that God almost kind of said this really quietly, because he's kind of ashamed, maybe. For he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. Isn't it amazing that the man who had integrity is being prayed for by the man who didn't have any? But here Abimelech, at his core, I mean, he was an honest man. Now, I don't know. The Bible doesn't go into what kind of a relationship Abimelech and his people had with God, whether they recognized him as the God. But I do know Abraham was called. And really and honestly and truly, Abraham struggled with this thing of integrity all throughout his life. But Abimelech, at his core, in his heart, was a man of integrity. God even knew that he was. And he spared his life. God spared this man's life because of his integrity. In 1 Kings chapter 9, we see that God says those that have integrity are going to be upheld. In verses 3 through 9 in 1 Kings 9, it says, and the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me, and I have allowed, I have hallowed this house which thou hast built, and put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever. Now, stop. We're going to stop there. I'm not going to read the rest for sake of time. David made a lot of mistakes, but at his core, he was a man of integrity. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. And God said to Solomon about David, he says, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked in integrity of heart. Now, Solomon did this for a time. But at the end of his life, it is told us, and we mentioned this on Sunday night, that Solomon's wives turned his heart away from God. They rattled his core, folks. And guess what? That's why things went all wonky on Israel. Rehoboam, failure. And if you go through and read, as this kingdom split up, and there are more bad kings than good ones. And it's just a mess. It's just a spiritual roller coaster, up and down, up and down, up and down. Just horrible. And so you see that this is very critical about being at the core of a human being, in our heart, if you will, integrity. Can I tell you something that doesn't come naturally? It has to be put there by God. You understand, we've talked about the heart. And we've talked about how the heart is wicked and desperately wicked. In Proverbs 11, Solomon even said, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. So we see this difference between righteous and wicked and evil and upright people, and that comes from what's inside of us. I love what it says in Romans chapter 10. The Bible says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In Ezekiel, there's a wonderful passage of scripture that talks about God taking out the stony heart and replacing it with a heart that's set toward him. Oh, with a heart that is able to love God and to follow God and to walk after God. He calls it a new heart, he says. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that what happens to us when we're saved? Oh, it's a wonderful time. A wonderful experience. That with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, we don't have the time tonight, but over and over again in Scripture, you can look at how, as it says in the Bible, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Listen, we're able to place integrity at the core of our being because of what God has done in our heart. You understand that integrity needs to be at your core. But also, once something is at the core of a being, it needs to travel to the surface. So not only do we need to have integrity at our core, but we need to have integrity at the surface of our life. In other words, people need to see it. They need to see it. David walked in his integrity. Job walked in his integrity. Joseph walked in his integrity. I don't have time to run all the scriptures tonight because I guess you turned too slowly to Genesis chapter 20. That was a long time ago and I only had to turn one place, so I guess it's my fault tonight. But Joseph, as he had these dreams and these visions, and as he served his father, and as he did what was right, and when his brothers did wrong, he would report that, and I guess you could call him a tattletale if you wanted to, but I don't think he was. And as he went, and his father bestowed on him a great honor, and as things went on and things got worse, his brothers caught him, and they didn't like him, and so they ripped off his coat of many colors, and they threw him in a pit, and then they sold him into slavery, and they tore up his coat and put blood on it, and told his dad that he had been killed by a wild beast. Goes down to Egypt, sold to a man named Potiphar, and he continues to serve God. And God continues to bless him. And things in Potiphar's house are going well. And I'm sure he was a fine young man. And Potiphar's wife decides she wants some of that. And she goes off and tries to catch him and lure him. And he says, no. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not sinning against God. I'm not going to sin against my master. He's given me charge over everything, and the only thing he's held back from me is you, and I'm not doing this. And he shows off his integrity. And as he gets put in jail, wrongfully, he serves the jailer well. He takes care of the other prisoners. And as two men come to him with dreams, he tells them, God says, you're going to make it. God says, you're not. 2 years later, by the way, he only had one request to the butler, that he would make his case known to Pharaoh. The butler said, sure. 2 years later. Now, the butler did say, I remember now my fault. this is bad, Pharaoh. But we talked about how when he stood before Pharaoh, all cleaned up, drug out of prison, forgotten 2 years, sold by his brothers, lied about by Potiphar's wife, all of this stuff, he still has the integrity to say, Pharaoh, I can't tell your dream, but God can. It's a great example. His integrity, certainly was at his core. And listen, if you go through and you read the book of Job, I guess I read verse 11, I overstepped, but listen, I'm sure Eliphaz meant well. I'm sure Bildad meant well. I'm sure Zophar meant well. And the other guy that comes up later on, I forgot his name, but whatever his name is. I'm sure they all meant well. But you know what? With friends like that, who needs enemies? And as he goes through these 40-some chapters of debate, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, Job shows his integrity to his friends. I love what it says in chapter 31, verses 4 through 8. He says about God, "Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. If my step hath turned out of the way, and mine heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to my hands, then let me sow, and let another eat. Yea, let my offspring be rooted out." He says, hey, I've shown forth my integrity. It's out there. I'm an open book. Joseph was an open book. Hey, listen, are you an open book? Can you be? Because of your integrity at the core, does it leach out to the surface as it should? Psalm chapter 7, the Bible says, "The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, according to mine integrity that is in me." Psalm 26, David said, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity." By the way, God told Solomon, remember we read that verse, if you'll walk in your integrity as your father David walked in his integrity, you're going to be just fine. You see, it's better to be poor and walk in your integrity than to be perverse in your lips and be a fool. In Titus chapter 2, I won't read verses 1 through 15, actually it's the whole chapter. But basically, in a nutshell, it's showing our integrity at our surface. You see, he begins and says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men do this and this, the aged women likewise, that they may teach the young women to be discreet, the young men likewise to exhort to be sober-minded, sound speech, all these things, exhort servants to be obedient to their masters, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." But we should be like that. We should live, it should show forth, because it's integrity in our core, and it comes up to the surface of our lives so everyone can view it. Well, not only is it important to have integrity at our core, integrity at the surface, but how about this? Integrity beyond. Beyond. In other words, beyond yourself. Beyond your existence. Beyond your life. How about to the next generation? Solomon said in Proverbs 20, verse 7, "The just man walketh in his integrity." That's great. That's fantastic. But to what end? His children are blessed after him. You know, Joshua, he did well in Moses' stead, taking over 3 million complaining Jews into the promised land. He did great. And in chapter 24, he says, "Choose you this day. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the Bible says that after Joshua died, the children of Israel followed the Lord. to those that the elders that were with Joshua when they died, and those that overlived, it says. And then things went haywire. But his integrity lasted well beyond his death. Will yours to the generations to come? It ought to. God wants it to. In Psalm 25, David said, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee." In Psalm 41, it says, "As for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." We know that David and his integrity helped the people of Israel. In Psalm 78, it says, "He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. And from following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands." So the integrity that was in David was overflowed or went beyond to the people of Israel. 1 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy to be an example to others. He says, "Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine and continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." He's supposed to be an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. So they could pass it on to someone else. You see, to whom are you passing your integrity? Who is it spilling over on and blessing and helping and being a benefit to? In Philippians chapter 3, it says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that, if that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect." Remember what God said about Job? That he's perfect, an upright man. "Be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample." We're supposed to be an example to others so that they can walk likewise. And then just kind of in a little bit of a wrap-up passage, Psalm 71. The Bible says, "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come." So I think that we can simply see from the example of Job's life here in Job chapter 2 that integrity has got to be at our core. And it's got to leach out to the surface so others can see it. And then even go further to affect the lives of others. Integrity at the core, integrity at the surface, and integrity beyond.